The Blaze Radio Network. On demand. Glenn Beck.
Dave was watching from his window as his neighbors argued. Expletives ripped through the thin apartment walls. The fight was escalating quickly. Punches were thrown, fists were flying, and then Dave caught a glimmer of silver out of the corner of his eye. One of the men had a knife and was about to use it. Dave, watching from the window, rushed to his bedroom, opened the bottom drawer, made his choice, and calmly walked outside. He approached the men and just stood there. His presence immediately caused the two men to forget all about their fight. The knife-wielding man attempted to flee the scene, but was caught by police moments later. The neighbor was rushed to the hospital for stab wounds. He's expected to make a full recovery. All because Dave brought a gun to a knife fight. Dave is a certified firearms instructor.
Oh, then that's okay.
Dave has a collection of guns.
Oh, wait a minute. He's a hoarder?
He grabbed his AR-15.
Oh, my.
The AR-15, because it was a bigger gun. He believes that the intimidation factor definitely played a part in stopping the fight. No shots were fired. That was never Dave's intention. He said the AR-15 is my weapon of choice for home protection. It's light, it's maneuverable, and if you train and know how to use it properly, it's not dangerous at all. This is just an example of a good guy with an AR-15 stopping a bad guy with a knife. There were no lives taken. So all in all, it was a pretty good day. Bad guy in jail? Other guy who had been stabbed in the hospital but going to make a full recovery? And the AR-15 back where it belongs. People like Dave are all over the country. Let's take a moment and just remember that there's a lot of good guys. In fact, the good guys with guns are in the vast majority.
It's Wednesday, February 28th. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Oh, my. There's a couple of things that we have to get into today. One is Dick's, a major gun retailer, is going to stop selling assault rifles. I would like to know officially from Dick's what an assault rifle is. Can anyone define an assault rifle?
It's easy. It's a gun that could potentially hurt someone else. That's an assault weapon.
No.
Mm-mm. We all know that certain guns can actually do damage to other people if fired upon them. And those guns should not be in the hands of people.
I'm going to bring in two rifles tomorrow. And one is an assault rifle, and the other one is not. It's a Lapua. One of those will tear you apart.
The assault rifle.
It would be the Lapua. And the Lapua will shoot through walls. I think it will actually stop a car. I think it'll shoot into an engine block. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty powerful rifle, and people have used it to kill people in war a mile away. That's not going to be an assault rifle. That's not an assault rifle.
Well, as we all know, Glenn, and we've seen this many times over the past couple of weeks, when you push people who are looking for gun control on these sorts of questions, hey, wait a minute, how can you ban this weapon and not this weapon? What they always say is, well, it's a good first step and you got to start somewhere.
And then they follow it with, we're not coming for all of your guns.
Right.
Well, wait a minute. Wait. Which one is it? Which one is it? Also, Brian Mast, who is a congressman in Florida and a guy who has been on this program several times, he's a war hero, and he has suddenly had a change of heart believes that we should take all ARs off the market. Well, okay, Brian. We've invited him to be on this program today. I hope that he takes us up because I have just a few questions, and I'm sure he's smart enough to answer them. and he's well thought out enough. Now, I know he's busy with CNN today, but it would be nice to see if he would spend some time here answering just a few questions on his new stance with ARs.
I do think, though, to be fair, an AR-15 is a weapon that can kill you from 15 miles away, and that should not be available.
No, it's really not. No.
No, it can.
No.
No, you're wrong. An elementary school in Pennsylvania will close today for classes this week when a nearby church holds a blessing ceremony involving AR-15 rifles. The superintendent of the school district wrote in a letter to parents that students will instead be taking to schools about 15 miles away. The superintendent said in the letter, there's no direct threat, but said that there are worries about parking traffic and the, quote, nature of the event, end quote. Mm. See, the nature of the event, Glenn, because they have a gun. Now, people don't realize that they walk by people all the time with guns because they're concealed carry holders or people have guns in their cars.
About 10%. Yeah. About 10% of Americans have a concealed carry permit. Did you know that about 1 out of every 10 people, depending on where you are, is carrying a gun? If you're in Texas, it's probably 10 out of 10 people.
I mean, and so you're going to move the kids 15 miles away so they don't get shot by the AR-15?
Absolutely insane. Unbelievable. Okay, we wanted to bring on Chad Robichaud because he is a good friend, and he is the president of the Mighty Oaks Foundation. The Mighty Oaks Foundation is truly a miracle organization. This is an organization that takes guys who have PTSD and really have no place to go, and they're changing lives. They are turning people away from suicide and turning their lives back into real productive lives. And I've met a lot of the people that have gone through this program one after another, and they're healed. And it's remarkable and a little unconventional because Jesus is involved, or at least you're allowed to say the word Jesus. We have Chad on the phone now. Hi, Chad. How are you?
Hey, Glenn. Great to be back on.
So you were United States Marine Corps decorated. You were on reconnaissance. I mean, you've been through it all. You know weapons, and you wrote a piece that I thought was really, really good about arming teachers and also how we just, I mean, Chad, we don't want to make our schools into a prison.
No, we don't. But, you know, I think a lot of people forget what we did after 9/11. You know, immediately after 9/11, there was 40 air marshals. The government went to, in this effort to have to recruit and build up the air marshal program to help harden our planes. And one of the efforts behind that was, hey, we can't get enough air marshals, so let's look at the last line of defense, the cockpit, and let's arm the pilots. And so they started a program called the FFDO program. We took normal vocational pilots who volunteered to be extra screened and extra trained and vetted and armed our pilots and took those soft targets of those airplanes and made them hard targets and a real deterrent. And this thing cost a lot of money, and it's been extremely successful program still to this day. And so when people say that, you know, the president's comments on arming teachers is ridiculous, it's not ridiculous. You know, we're not talking about arming every single teacher. They go to the work and they stop at the armory. We're talking, you know, a small percentage of the right ones who want to volunteer, who want to be vetted, and trained, and not run around the classroom or the halls like a SWAT team member, but be the last line defense, just like a cockpit. When they're in that classroom, locked down with their students, instead of the last thing they have to do is throw their body between, you know, the gunmen and their students, because that seems to be okay, they could actually defend themselves. And this isn't a crazy concept. This is actually being done in 18 states right now. And we don't hear incidents of things going sideways in these states that are doing it.
So wait, 18 states are already training like we trained the pilots?
No, 18 states are allowing teachers to have concealed carry on their campuses. And I believe it should be more than that. I don't think that's enough. I believe that they should be vetted. I believe they should be trained, and we should provide training. The FFDO program costs the government about $20 million a year to run. And I can't say the numbers of how many pilots that covers, because we want to keep the bad guys guessing, but it's a lot. It's a lot of pilots that are covered. And you know, when people assess if I'm going to go attack an airplane, they have to ask themselves, is there an air marshal on the plane? Is that pilot, if I make it to the cockpit, am I going to get shot? And the argument is, well, someone's willing to die. Glenn, you know me, and you know I've been in gunfights. And one thing I know about being in a gunfight is that even a bad guy willing to die doesn't want to get shot back at. And just the idea that that's a hard target, that a plane's a hard target, that a school could be a hard target, it'll make them think twice. And they may not do it, or they may go to a different target. And, you know, our soft targets right now in our country are our gun-free school zones, and that's not okay.
So Chad, a couple of things. First of all, you were one of the guys who trained people on planes, were you not?
That's right. Right after 9/11, I was came on as one of the very first air marshals for a short period of time, and helping get the FFDO program ramped up. I was one of the training officers that helped the first wave of federal flight deck officers.
So you were an air marshal as well. We were talking about this yesterday. Just saying, even if you as a school decide amongst yourselves, we're actually going to be a gun-free zone. We're not going to let anybody carry guns. But just putting a sign outside saying security and some teachers are armed would be a deterrent. By telling, we don't ever tell, when you're on an airplane, you don't know who the air marshal is. We don't want teachers to be brandishing firearms or even to be known who has them, because it makes them less effective. You want everybody guessing.
That's right. I mean, you want to create that unknown deterrent. And we do this around the world for our embassies and our consulates. And just last week, we had a CNN town hall meeting. That was a hard target. Armed security. I mean, no one's going to go attack a place like that because they know that there's security there. You know, but yet our schools, people are fighting to defend our schools to continue to be soft targets, and I just don't understand it. This isn't a crazy solution, and we have the capacity to do that. There's lots of other things that can be done, and you could talk about legislation and stuff like that, but this is something that could be done and done right away.
So can you help me out on, let me switch subjects just a bit. How do we, people right now are saying we need to get rid of AR-15s. And all assault rifles need to be banned. First of all, no. But second of all, let's just, can you define, Chad, what an AR is?
Well, that's the question. And I was listening to you guys earlier. When people talk about, you know, banning ARs, the people that are having these conversations can't even define what the AR is, an assault rifle is. And so where do you draw the line? Of you know, and that line is going to, you know as well as I do, Glenn, that line is going to continually shift. As people kind of get their way in pushing this and impeaching on our Second Amendment rights. It goes back to me, and I think you and I are right on the same page as this. This isn't a gun issue. Everyone thinks this is a gun issue. It's a cultural issue. When you take, you know, God out of schools, you take fathers out of homes, you take moral absolutes out of society, this is where we are. And culture is a problem. I went to high school in Louisiana. Our parking lot was full of pickup trucks with gun racks on the back,
yeah,
and loaded rifles.
Me too.
That people would probably call assault rifles, and no one shot anyone.
Right.
You know, but if we're gonna accept this as our culture and not change that, then we have to have real solutions and identifying certain guns and say, okay, that gun is not okay. That's not gonna change anything, and it just takes our eyes off of what the real problem is. You know, these arguments, and we're not gonna end up with any real solutions.
Do you find any validity in the argument that we just have to do something? I mean, this is the thing that they keep saying over and over again. We have to take some step. We know if we do nothing, these things will continue. Why don't we do something?
Well, I think we do something. But I think that the people that are making an argument aren't really presenting anything. You got people marching around the country saying no guns at all. Well, that's unrealistic. There's a 500 million guns in America, and who's going to go take them? Where do they start? They're going to go into 6th District of New Orleans or the South Side of Chicago, or small town Texas, and start taking people's guns. I mean, that's unrealistic.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. If somebody wanted to start, if a state or a school wanted to start a program like you're talking about, Chad, how do they do it?
Well, I think that we have a president right now who's willing to step up and do this and fund it. And so I believe just like the air marshals, the pilots and the airlines or private corporations, just like they're not training the guys. The federal government utilized the Federal Air Marshal Service, and they put a $20 million approximately budget together per year to fund this training. And so I think, you know, the federal government seems to me as they're willing to step up a training program. And, you know, one thing teachers have, these volunteer teachers, they have 3 months off in the summer, and they have the time. I'm sure the president said 20% is what he would suggest. I'm sure 20% of the teachers would volunteer to step up and do this. And if there isn't federal monies, I know there's police organizations, there's private organizations. A friend of mine, Tim Kennedy, has an organization that goes around and provides free training for this type of stuff. I mean, there's plenty of private organizations that's willing to step up and provide the solution.
Chad,
I'm sure you know.
I've just got to run, but I want to thank you so much for everything that you do, and thank you for what you do for the Mighty Oaks Foundation. Thank you for on behalf of the vets. Thank you.
Thank you, Glenn.
Go to the website at mightyoaksprograms.org, and you can get Chad on Twitter at Chad Robo.
Former recon marine, federal air marshal, and the guy who helped, was one of the first to step in after 9/11 and teach our pilots how to protect the planes.
Another school shooting.
The gunfire lasted less than 10 minutes, but this morning...
Heavily armed with a bulletproof vest, loads of ammunition, and a powerful AR-15.
Another debate about banning guns.
Keep assault rifles out of the hands of people who are going to shoot our kids.
I want this to be the catalyst, the end of the Second Amendment.
Now, more than ever, you need to know the facts. Get Control, exposing the truth about guns, on Amazon and wherever books are sold.
Dick's Sporting Goods has just made the decision that they are going to ban all assault rifles. We'll give you all the details on this coming up in just a second.
One of the strangest things about the movement in the gun debate on this particular shooting is that it is, I think, maybe without a doubt, the most preventable shooting we've ever seen.
We've ever seen.
I've never seen anything like this. The amount of information that keeps pouring out. Let's listen to the gunman's neighbor. Listen to the people talking about this guy. You know that people knew this was going to occur.
My husband and I both knew that it was not over, that we would eventually see him one day on the news wearing an orange jumpsuit, being charged with murder. We both knew it. I didn't know exactly how it would happen or how soon it would happen, but I had no doubt in my mind that it would happen.
You begged this officer to please do something.
I did. I begged him, and he basically told me that... it was not an immediate threat. He couldn't do anything, is what he told me.
See, this is a problem.
I remember him leaving and just thinking, my God, he's going to kill someone, and I can do nothing about it.
So here's the problem with this. This, I believe, is where the average American is, that's not engaged in the rhetoric of the left or the right now. They are saying, my kids are in danger. There are things we can do. And this one was so preventable. What are you guys talking about? Is this happening in my town? Can you arrest somebody who has this track record? And the answer is yes, you can.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Well, Dick's Sporting Goods has made a choice, and I think a brave choice, one that I don't agree with, but they said they are going to take a stand, and they're going to stop selling assault rifles permanently. Now, I don't know exactly what an assault rifle is defined as. We We haven't had anyone actually define what an assault rifle is, besides a scary-looking black one. But you can change the handles on an assault rifle, and it's no longer an assault rifle. So what do you... What is an assault rifle? Here is Dick, right?
No, his name is Ed, actually.
Oh,
Ed,
really?
Ed.
Well, he'll always Ed be Dick Stack to a lot of people. So yeah. What is his name, Ed?
Because he's Ed? The CEO of Dick's. He would always be Dick to a lot of people.
I'm just saying.
Okay, his name is Ed Stack. And
yes, so here... That's so wrong. Here is Ed, and he's making the announcement on CNN. Here it is.
We think it's the right thing to do. We, you know, after Parkland, we were so disturbed and saddened by what happened in Parkland that we said we need to do something. And we talked about what we needed to do,
powerful.
And we felt that we needed to make a statement that we will no longer sell assault-type rifles, high-capacity magazines, and a few other things. And our hearts went out to those kids and to their parents. And, you know, everybody talks about thoughts and prayers going out to them, and that's great. But that doesn't really do anything, and we felt that we needed to take a stand.
Can we do something first? No. Can we just address the thoughts and prayers? The thoughts and prayers are not going out to stop violence. I mean, yes, we pray that there's protection, et cetera, et cetera. Thoughts and prayers are for the families and those who are trying to heal. It's not the solution. It's not being proposed by religious people as the solution. Our thoughts and prayers are with the families who are grieving. Can we stop with this nonsense that thoughts and prayers aren't enough? Of course they're not. But they are a part of a civilized Judeo-Christian country. Stop belittling it.
Yeah, well, yeah, because I think it's true in that most people, when they say that, right, say thoughts and prayers as a way to extend condolences, to tell people who are victims of such things that you feel for them and you understand their grief.
May I quote, "We are deeply disturbed and saddened by the tragic events in Parkland. Our thoughts and prayers are with all of the victims and their loved ones." That's from Dick at Dick's Sporting Goods. So we got it.
Can we go one step further with the thoughts and prayers thing here before we get back to this audio, though? I can understand if you are not a believer, right, that you might say thoughts and prayers are meaningless. There's about, you know, 10-15% of the country that is atheist or agnostic that I can understand saying that, you know, prayers mean nothing. Now, thoughts would still be a message of condolences, but it has nothing to do with that. But go back to this for a second. If you are a believer, the thing you believe is the most powerful thing in the universe you are appealing to in a moment of real crisis. It is an absolutely incredibly meaningful thing for someone who believes. You might not think, if you're not a believer, that it is that has no impact at all. However, how many times have you said this, Glenn? The real solution to all of this is that we turn back towards God. That we turn back towards these things. That's a real, it's not a legislative solution. It's much, much bigger than that. The prayer is not nothing to a believer. If you are someone who thinks it's all, you know, gobbledygook and nonsense, well, then of course I don't think that you're going to think a prayer is a big deal. But to someone who is a believer, it's an incredibly large deal. It's the thing that we are here to do. It's one of the main things that is like one of the central focuses of our lives, right? So it's not nothing. Saying thoughts and if you don't actually pray in addition to thoughts and prayers, well, that's then maybe you could say that that's nothing. But when you're actually praying, when you're a believer, that's a big deal. We all, our lives are supposed to be a heck of a lot more praying than we actually do.
So beginning today, Dick's Sporting Goods, which, by the way, I support Dick's being able to do this. They're a private company. They make their own choices. I think this is wrong. Could be a fatal mistake for their business because I don't think that the average person is with this. I really don't. You know, you look at the people's, the companies who have started to say, I'm distancing myself from the NRA. None of them have had growth because of it. All of them have had massive hits to their likability scores.
Every company polled had an overall decline by double digits. And well into the double digits.
Yes,
from overall opinion about them, because you get a slight bump from Democrats. Yes, and you get a gigantic fall off from Republicans.
Yes. So all you're doing is you are choosing sides. You are, instead of saying, look, we believe in the Constitution. We believe in the right of assembly. We believe in the right of association. We believe in the right freedom of speech, and we believe in the Constitution as the Second Amendment, and we're here to serve all Americans. Now, you guys work it out. Until then, we're here to serve all Americans in a legal and responsible way. That, to me, is the way you save your business. Those who want to choose a side, either side, I think you are making a massive mistake. Massive mistake. Dick's will be the number one sporting goods store in places like Boulder, Colorado, and Los Angeles and New York City. But I think, I can't imagine any of my neighbors in Idaho are going to go into a Dick's Sporting Goods.
They can choose Cabela's.
Yeah, they'll choose. There's other choices. They'll choose. So they said, we will no longer sell assault rifles, also referred to as, quote, modern sporting rifles. We have already removed them from the Dick's stores after Sandy Hook, but we will now remove them from sale at all 35 Field and Stream stores. Field and Stream stores. Well, what am I going? Why would I go to?
Now it's just a stream store.
Now it's just a stream store. Well, you should stop selling
hooks. Stop murdering
as well.
Fish.
We will no longer sell firearms to anyone under the age of 21. Again, this is their right to do this.
Yeah, absolutely.
We will no longer sell high-capacity magazines. This is one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard. High capacity magazines. Okay, so you've made every single sports shooter life a nightmare. Trying to load them, if you load them by hand, is a nightmare. And anybody who knows anything about guns knows I can drop that magazine and shove another one in really fast. I just take a breath to pause in shooting to put a new magazine in. It's a ridiculous idea.
And not to mention, with the age of the internet and being able to order things from God knows where, plus the idea of 3D
printing.
These bans are meaningless.
We have never and never will sell bump stocks that allow semi-automatic weapons to fire more rapidly. Now, I agree that bump stocks, I think that's a nightmare. I think that's someone trying to get past the law. But again, 3D printing, and I don't know if you know this, but the way those started was from people using their belt loop on their jeans.
Yeah.
Ban the belt loop. This is not going to do anything. And as we pointed out a little while ago, first, define AR. Tomorrow, we're going to try to do this. Define AR. What does it mean?
An AR is not assault rifle. Right, like a lot of people say that it is, right? It's the brand of that particular gun, the AR-15, right? Assault rifle, or modern sporting rifle.
Is
this class of weapons, because it's an AR, you could at least say, is a brand, right? Like, you can't say that about assault rifles. It is a meaningless term. We all know it's a meaningless term. But again, these solutions are not designed to solve anything.
No, they're trying to make people feel better, yeah, that we've done something. So let's actually do something. Let's harden our schools like we have our airports and our banks. Is there more treasure in Fort Knox or in our local school? Why can we not have air marshals in our schools? Why can we not have responsible policing in our schools? Real policing set up for this. The times have changed. Having Barney Fife, you know, on call is not what we need.
And is that going to be successful in every circumstance? No. We saw in Parkland that they actually were relatively well prepared for this particular incident with someone very close by that was able to be there in 1 minute. I mean, I don't know if you're ever going to, you know, improve on that situation. You just actually have to execute your training.
Assault weapons have been around since Vietnam. Since Vietnam. They just became popular because they look cooler. We've had access to them, in fact, bigger access to them, since Vietnam. We didn't have this problem. There's a problem in society with our souls. There's a problem. And what is that problem? We don't see each other as people. So now what do? Divide ourselves even more and say, you're part of the problem. You, that half of America. I refuse to do that to the people who are trying to limit guns because I know a lot of people who believe this. I think they are ill-educated. They are not well-educated on this particular topic. They have no experience with them, and they're afraid of them. I understand that. I grew up around them. You didn't. But if you're talking about a constitutional right, you need to educate yourself. You have to know what it is. Then you have to know what is the record? Because we've already done this. We've banned assault weapons. We banned them. According to the very right wing Bill Clinton Justice Department, it did what, Stu?
Yeah, it was actually a little bit later than that. But yeah, they did. They found that it had no decrease in the murder rate at all.
None.
There was no decrease in the gun homicide rate. It did nothing. I mean, it did nothing. That's quite a... We've already tried, and this is their far-reaching thing, right? The assault weapons ban, nobody believes they have a chance of passing. I mean, you know, they're talking about trying to get certain things done, raising the age and things like that, that have maybe a prayer of being done since the president has kind of indicated potential support for them, but there's no way.
So my 19-year-old daughter, who's going to college, she can't carry a gun. If she has a stalker, if she has something that she's very concerned about, she couldn't keep a gun until she's 21. So my daughter is wide open for rape if she were in college until she was 21.
In the middle of the Me Too movement, too, which is interesting. Here's you're trying to tell us that one out of every one women seemingly get raped in college. Everybody gets sexually harassed all the time, yet women cannot protect themselves.
And at the same time, you have a woman who is in the midst of taking steroids to become a man in high school, and all of the girls are complaining because of the steroids she's taking, just testosterone, they are too weak to be able to fight her off. They can't even win in a wrestling match. So what? A woman who's not strong enough to fend off an attack of a man who's juiced up and ready to rape you and do violence, you're going to be able to stop them without a gun? You're going to be able to stop what? We're just going to write off all women who are under 21. Yep, you're going to have to fend for yourself. I don't think so. I have a natural God-given right to protect myself. Now let's protect our children by A, fixing the real problem that happened in Florida. And that was a failure of the system.
I have sort of an unpopular opinion, but ears are weird. Aren't they? Like, there's just these weird things on the side of your head, and somehow you listen through them, and I don't know. The whole, it's a strange invention. I don't know. God was like, I don't know, let's just put these things on the side of their heads, and it's a strange choice, but, you know, who am I to judge God? God knows best. Point here is, I guess, having ears is weird. Cleaning them is even weirder. Right now we have Q-tips that we're supposed to use, I guess. they're not used. They're not supposed to be used for cleaning your ears. UseWaxRx.com is the place to go to get the WaxRx system, and that is used to clean your ears. It's supposed to be used to clean your ears. It was designed to clean your ears. They use wax softening drops, this pH-conditioned formula. It rinses and soothes your ears to making for the ultimate, most complete earwax removal system available. Go to UseWaxRx.com. Use the promo code RADIO for free shipping. UseWaxRx.com. Promo code RADIO. UseWaxRx.com.
Glenn Beck.
We think it's the right thing to do. We, after Parkland, we were so disturbed and saddened by what happened in Parkland that we said we need to do something. And we talked about what we needed to do, and we felt that we needed to make a statement that we will no longer sell assault-type rifles, high-capacity magazines, and a few other things. And our hearts went out to those kids and to their parents. And, everybody talks about thoughts and prayers going out to them. And that's great, but that doesn't really do anything. And we felt that we need to take a stand and do this.
Great messenger.
That is the CEO of Dick's Sporting Goods, and we support his right to make that choice as a business. I think it's a ill-advised choice for business, but also it's just
Glenn
ill-informed.
Beck, Mercury.